Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf. We are holding on daf Tzadi Tesem Beis at the very end of the page at Amar Rava, two lines from the end of the page on daf Tzadi Tesem Beis. We're going to discuss at today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by the University of Maryland Daf Yomi Chabura out of Hakaras HaTov for helping them prepare and learn the daf. So we thank all the sponsors very much for their sponsorship. So again, we are holding the two lines on the bottom of the page on Daf Tzadi Tesem Beis. What we're going to discuss today is the status of water and other liquids, meaning if you have water in a bar, do we view that as if and you throw something and it lands on the water? Do we view that as if it landed in the bar? Or do we say, no, the water is like is its own entity, and therefore it's like continuous karka? What about doing an akira from something that's floating on the water? Then the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss throwing in a Rishos HaRabim against a wall. We've seen this Mishnah cited a number of times already. And then the second Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about if the object rolls in or out of Dalet Amos after you initially throw it. So you throw it and then it bounces away, further away out of Dalet Amos, or further back within one's Dalet Amos. Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about what if there's a puddle in the Rishos HaRabim or some body of water in the Rishos HaRabim that people just walk right through. So what's the status of such a body of water? The Mishnah is going to mention the same halacha twice about this body of water in Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara is going to give three different explanations why the Mishnah mentions the same exact halacha two times. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss in the middle of Amud Beis throwing from and to boats, meaning if you're putting it, you want to draw water into a boat, out of a boat. How do you do that properly? Can you throw items from one boat to another? Can you throw items from the sea to the land to the sea to a boat? So we're going to talk all about that, Bezras Hashem, in the second half of Amud Beis. So let's begin. We are again holding on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to bring another suffix of Rava with regard to the dinim of Hotza'a. But before it brings Rava's Shaila, brings Halacha that Rava was absolutely certain about. So I'm a Rava Pshitali. One thing I'm sure about, says Rava, is Mayim al gabe Mayim, Hainu Hanachasan, that if you have water that is resting in a kli on top of other water, that is considered to be placed down. And if you take some of the water and you take it out, it's considered that you have done an akira and therefore you're chayiv. Egos al gabe kelim, if you have a nut or any other object that's resting on top of kelim, lav hainu, egos al gabe mayim, rather, not al gabe kelim, egos al gabe mayim, if you have an egos that's resting on top of water, meaning that's floating on top of the water, lav hainu anu chasun, that's not considered to be munach on the water, because the water is always moving the entire time, so the egos is not really stationary. So if you pick up the egos, that is not considered an akira when you pick it up from the water that it's floating on. But by Rava says, here's my shaila. Egos bikli uklit safal gabi mayim mahu. What if you have an egos in a kli and the kli is floating on the water? So now, is the egos considered to be munach to the point that if you pick up the egos, you have done an akira? Or do we say, no, the kli, the egos is not considered to be munach? Mi amrinon basar egos azlinon vahanayuch. Do we say that we look at the egos and the egos is in fact resting in the kli, and therefore it's considered that you're doing an akira? Odilma basar kli azlinan v'halomeich. Or do we look at the kli itself, and therefore we say the kli is not munach, it's floating on the water? So says Gemara Teku, we leave that question unresolved. So the Gemara brings a similar halacha. Shemen al gabe yayin. What if you have oil floating on top of wine, and you took the oil and you moved it to a different rishus? Is that considered an akira of the shemen? The shemen was floating on top of the wine because of its different consistency. So machlokas Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. That's a machlokas Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan. In a different context, they argue about shemen and yayin that are in the same kli, where the shemen is floating above the level of the yayin. What context do they disagree about shemen al gabe yayin? It's not about otzah and Shabbos. It's about tuma and tahara. Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Tevul Yom, shemen shetzaf al gabe yayin. If you have oil that's floating on top of wine, and the both the shemen and the yayin are truma. So if they become tamei, they are ruined. V'naga tvil yom, and then this is why it's in Masech tvil yom. And a tvil yom touches it. A tvil yom is someone who has gone to the mikvah, but he doesn't yet have har of shemesh, and therefore he's still partially tamei. So b'shemen, a tvil yom touches the oil. So lo pasal ela shemen. The only pasal's the shemen, but the wine is not going to be pasal because his touching, meaning tvil yom is a din of a sheni l'tuma. So if he touches chulin, it doesn't do anything to the chulin because the chulin cannot become a shlishi. But if he touches truma, the truma can become a shlishi l'tuma. So he can ruin the truma by touching the truma. So if there's oil floating on top of the wine and he only touches the oil, is that considered like he touched the whole thing, all of the liquid contents of this kli, or is it no? He only touched the oil, but the wine is still going to be safe. So Tanakhama says lo pasal ela shemen. He only pasled the shemen. The wine is not affected. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Amar Shneim Chibur Zelizeh. No, they're both attached to each other. They're both in the same kli. They're two liquids that are both together in the same kli, and therefore the wine becomes pasal as well. So just like we have this machlokas as far as whether we view the shemen and the yayin as one entity with regard to tumah. So when it comes to Shabbos, if someone is oker shemen from yayin on Shabbos, the chum hold that it's not considered to be mechubar, and therefore it's like an egos floating on mayim that's not considered to be munach. It's not considered to be resting there, and therefore it's not called an akira. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, that they're considered to be mechubar to each other, so then it's the same as mayim al gabe mayim, and mayim al gabe mayim we said is munach. So if you remove some water from a bar, that is called an akira. So just like if you have a whole bunch of water and you take one cup of water out of a bar that's filled with water, that is an akira. So if you view the shemen and yayin as a single entity, when you take some shemen out from the from on top of the yayin, that too is going to be considered an akira. So that's the machlokas tanaim that we have elsewhere that relates to Hilchos Shabbos as well. So now we bring a similar halacha as far as placing an object in a bar and thereby minimizing the shear. Amar Abaye, Barber Rishus Rabim, Amuka Asara Uruchava Shmona. Let's say you have a Barber Rishus Rabim, it's 10 tvachim deep, and it's 8 tvachim wide, which is way more than it needs to be in order for it to be a Rishus Yachid. It only needs to be 4 tvachim wide to be a Rishus Yachid. Vizarak Litocha Machzeles. And let's say you take a mat that was sitting in the Rishus Rabim and you threw it into the bar. Chayiv. That's obvious. Of course you're going to be Chayiv. You threw from a Rishus Rabim into something that is absolutely a Rishus Yachid. No, but here's where it gets interesting. Chilka b'machzelas. Let's say you use that mat to cut the bar in half, to make a machitza right in the middle of the bar. So now, potter. Now you're going to be potter, because by having that mat placed right in the center of the bar, if the bar was exactly 8 tvachim wide beforehand, now each side of that mat is a little less than 4 tvachim wide. And anything that doesn't meet the dimensions of 4x4 tvachim is not going to be a rishus hayachid. So by having that machzelas right in the middle of the bar, neither side of the bar is 4x4 tefachim. So since that takes away its status of a rishus hayachid, you're not going to be chayiv for that hanacha. This is against Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't sure about this, right? Remember, we discussed yesterday what happens if a person puts there's a bar that's 10 tefachim deep and a person shovels some dirt into it from the Rishus Rabim and puts it in the bar. So on the one hand, the bar was a Rishus Yachid beforehand, but now it's no longer a Rishus Yachid because of the dirt that you put into it. So we weren't sure what the halacha is in that case. Says the Gemara, very, very similar issue. When the hanacha's over, now it's no longer a Rishus Yachid, but it was a Rishus Yachid when you threw the machzelas into it. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're going to be potter. We don't view that as a rishus yachid. So it says, "Well, Abaye de pshitle machzelas mevat mechitza kol shken chulia." So Abaye is making a major statement over here. If he's saying that the machzelas will change the dimensions of the bar to the point that it no longer has the status of rishus yachid, and therefore even vis-a-vis this maisa of hachnasa, it also doesn't have a status of rishus yachid. So for sure, he would say the same thing about digging some dirt into a bar that used to be 10 tefachim deep. mevatel mechitza, that for sure is mema'it the bar, and is mevatel the status of Rishus HaYachid from the bar, and you're definitely not going to be chayiv for throwing such dirt into a bar, because if even a machzeles, which is not normal to be mevatel in the bar, you don't plan on leaving it there forever, even that we say, oh, now the bar is no longer Rishus HaYachid, then for sure dirt, which is normal to leave in the bar, to throw into the bar and leave there, then for sure we're going to say it no longer has the status of Rishus HaYachid. But Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we learned about in yesterday's daf, who had the shaila about putting the dirt into the bar, so then machzelas pshita, the lo mevatel mechitza, if he wasn't even sure about dirt that you're being mevatel there, by the machzelas, for sure he's going to say that it was a Rishus HaYachid that you put the item into, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for placing that machzelas in the bar. Because if Rabbi Yochanan would have been mesupak about the machzelas, he would have mentioned his suffix about the machzelas and not about the chulia. The fact that he talks about the chulia and not the machzelas must mean that he's not bothered at all by the case of machzelas, that he believes the case of machzelas to be obvious. The achronim deal with the logical flaws in that argument, but I don't know if we're going to have time for it right now. So it says Marvam Rabbi. Rabbi also comments. If you have a bar that's in Rosh Hashanah that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, and it's full of water, and you throw, let's say, either water or a rock or anything from Rosh Hashanah into this bar that's full of water, chayiv. You're going to be chayiv for transferring something into that Rosh Hashanah. But if it's filled up with peros and you throw something into it, so the peros are filling up the entire cavity of the bar. So if you throw peros into it and it's, you're going to be potter. My taima, mayim lo mevatni mechitzta. Peros mevatni mechitzta. And the reason is very simply that water is not mevatel the mechitzos of the bar, and it's still considered to have the dimensions of the bar itself. Meaning we don't view the water as if it's filling in the bar. The water just happens to be the contents of the bar, but it doesn't change the dimensions of the bar. As opposed to peros, the more you fill it in with something solid, like peros, that changes the dimensions of the bar. So if you had a bar that was 10 tefachim deep, but then you put 10 tefachim high of peros in it, you don't have a bar anymore. That's just considered like straight ground, and therefore it's not considered a Rishus HaYachid anymore. Tanya Namiyachi, we have a brisa that says just like this, Hazorik minayam le'isratya. If a person throws from the ocean into a Rishus HaRabim, an isratya is a highway that goes from one city to the next, and that's probably the definition of Rishus HaRabim, meaning Rishus HaRabim, we have all sorts of qualifications that we've discussed. What dimensions does it have to have? Are the area around the Angolos, are they Rishus HaRabim? How many people have to be there in order for it to be Rishus HaRabim? But probably the most fundamental definition of a Rishus HaRabim is an area that's designated for intercity travel, a place that you travel, and everything else is probably more of a simen than a siba, than the actual definition of a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rav Shechter holds that train tracks are Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. If a train goes from one city to another city, that has status of Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, and he therefore holds that you cannot include a train in an Eruv. So that's why he doesn't like our Five Towns Eruv, because we have something called the Long Island Railroad that runs right through the middle of town. So most other posts can disagree with that, and they hold that you can include a train in the Eruv, but that's Rav Shachter's opinion, that you cannot include a train in the Eruv, because since it's made for intercity travel, that by definition becomes a Rishus HaRabim. So Tanya Namihachi, we have a brisa that says just like this, Hazorik Minayam L'Isratya. So if someone throws from the, right, that's what I read already, if someone throws from the Yam to the Isratya, to the Rishus HaRabim, Umin Asratya L'Yam, or from the Rishus HaRabim to the Yam, Potter is going to be Potter, because Minat Torah, there's no isra of moving something from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah, and the Yam is a Carmelist. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesh B'makom Shezarek Amak Asar V'rachav Rabba'a Chayiv. If he threw from Rosh Hashanah to the Yam, and the Yam has a place in the place where he threw into a bar that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, then he's going to be Chayiv. So even though the entirety of the Yam is also 10 tefachim deep, and nevertheless it still has a din of a Carmelist, harmless, but that bar, since it's separate from the rest of the yam, is considered an independent Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So Rabbi Shimon is mechayev for being zorek from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a bar that is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, even though the bar is full of water. So you see that mayim is not memayit, the mechitzos of a bar. Here you have a bar full of water, and he says, I don't care. I look at the dimensions of the bar. I don't view that bar as if it's been filled in with earth, or as if it's no longer in its original dimensions. Good, so that's the raya to what Abaye had said. Now, new Mishnah. Hazorik arba amos b'kosov. Someone throws something 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah up against the wall. L'malame asar tfachim, more than 10 tfachim off the ground, kizorik ba'avir. It's like he's throwing it into the airspace of Rosh Hashanah more than 10 tfachim off the ground, and he's pater, because the guy that threw it against the wall, it didn't rest in the Rosh Hashanah, because the avir of Rosh Hashanah is more than, only goes up until 10 tfachim, and more than 10 tfachim off the ground in the Rosh Hashanah has the status of a makom patur. So you threw it more than 10 tfachim off the ground, you threw it into a makom patur. But lematamei asar tfachim kizorek ba'aretz. But if you throw it below 10 tfachim, within 10 tfachim of the ground, that's like throwing it on the ground itself. And what's the halach of throwing it on the ground? Vazorek ba'aretz, arba amos chayiv, and if someone is zorek ba'aretz, 4 amos, he's going to be chayiv. So when you throw it against a wall and it's within 10 tfachim of the ground, you're going to be chayiv. So this discussion we've already seen. The Gemara asks, v'halonach, wait a second, when you throw something against a wall, it bounces back. It doesn't rest on the wall. So where is your hanacha at the end of Dalet Amos over here? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan b'dveila shmeina shaninu. We're talking about a case where you threw a fig that is juicy and gooey and sticky, and therefore it sticks up against the wall when you throw it to the wall. So it did have a hanacha. It doesn't bounce off of the wall. Am Rabbi Domarav, Am Rabbi Chia, Zarek l'malamei asara, v'holcha v'nacha b'char kolshu. Let's say a person throws an object in Rosh Hashanah more than 10 tfachim off the ground, and it rests in a hole in the wall that's 10 tfachim off the ground, but the hole in the wall does not have dimensions of 4x4 tfachim. So is that considered that it had a hanacha on a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Meaning normally you have something that's 10 tfachim high and 4x4 tfachim wide. That is the definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Over here you have such an item, but it didn't rest on top where it's 4x4 tfachim wide. It rested in a crack, in a crevice in that wall. So is that considered to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? So Badal Machlokas Shamei the Rabbanan. This enters into a machlokas between Rameh and the Rabbanan in Hilchos Mezuzah. In Hilchos Mezuzah, much of Hilchos Mezuzah is found in Yuma Daf Yud Aleph as far as the types of doorways that are chayiv in Mezuzah. So that's a bit of an anomaly. You wouldn't expect it to be in Meseches Yuma. Obviously, the majority of Hilchos Mezuzah are in Meseches Menachos, but it comes up sort of Derech Agav in Meseches Yuma as well. So Meseches Yuma Daf Yud Aleph, there's a discussion of a chayiv Mezuzah on a doorway that's rounded, meaning you don't have just like a regular Tzuras HaPesach with a Kanamikan. What do you have? An arched doorway. So is there a chayiv mezuzah on such a doorway? So normally the dimensions of a doorway to be chayiv mezuzah is it needs to be 4 tfachim across and 10 tfachim high to be chayiv mezuzah. But the arch might cut into that 4 tfachim across as it arches up, right? So what's the halacha in such a case? So the Rabbi Meir, the Amar Chokik in the Hashlim, Rabbi Meir holds such a shita that we view the width at the bottom as if it's been hollowed up all the way out, as if you could draw a straight line, even though it's actually arched, and as you get closer to 10 tfachim of height, you're getting less than 4 tfachim of width. We view it as if you hollowed out the entire area, cut out the entire area, squared out the entire area. That's a halachic mechanism that we use called chokik in lahashlim. So, and therefore, it's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. So, mechayiv, so over here also, when you're machnas from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you view the kosel, the crevice in the wall where it landed, as if it's been hollowed out, and therefore is an area of 4x4 tvachim. But the Rabbanan, Damri Ein Chok in Lahashlim, according to the Rabbanan, who did not hold of this concept of Chokik in Lahashlim, of carving out the area to be the archway to be Chayiv in Mezuzah, Salam Mechayiv, they're not going to be Mechayiv over here either. Tani Nami Hachi, Zarek Lamal Meyasar, Valcha Venacha Bechor Kolshu, Rameir Mechayiv, Vecham Potter. We have a Brisa that says exactly like this. The Rameir says, you're Chayiv, and the Chams say you're going to be Potter in such a case. So that's the That's the halacha by mezuzah that we apply over that we're going to apply over here. Okay, obviously we're talking about where the wall itself is four tefachim wide. Otherwise, there's nothing to be chokek. Chokin la'ashla means you have to assume that it would be physically possible to create the area that you're looking to create. So if it was for the wall itself were less than four tefachim, then there's nothing to discuss. Then there is no chokek in la'ashlim. Okay, so now the Gemara brings another halacha that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav as far as the halacha. Let's say you have a ramp that goes down at a rate where it goes down 10 tefachim at a length of arba amos. So it's 10 tefachim off the ground, but the slope is such that it takes 4 amos to go down 10 tefachim. Vizark v'nachal gabav, and you throw something that lands on top of that tel, on top of that ramp. So chayiv, you chayiv, because it's as if the whole thing is 10 tefachim high. And therefore, it's considered Rosh HaSiyachid. Tanya Nami Achi, and we have a Brisa that says just like this, Mavoi Sheshavah L'Tocho. Let's say you have a Mavoi, an alleyway, that the entrance to the Mavoi is equal to the Karka of the Mavoi, but then the Karka of the Mavoi is higher than the Karka of the Rosh Hashanah, so you need a ramp to get up into the Mavoi, V'nasa Madron the Rosh Hasharabin. So from the Pesach of the Mavoi to the Karka of the Rosh Hashanah, there's a ramp that goes down. Oh, shavul Rosh Hasharabim, or maybe the entrance way to the Mavoi is the same height as the Rosh Hasharabim, nasa madron l'tocho, but you need a ramp to go down into the Mavoi. Sometimes when I lived in Kew Gardens Hills, there were a lot of places like this. Anyone who's ever been to Kew Gardens Hills, there's a lot of there are attached houses, and behind the attached houses there are all these the garages and the places for the cars to park. But those areas are very often lower than street level, so they have like a ramp that goes down, like a driveway that goes down into the what's essentially a mavoi, right? An alleyway that goes from end to end that has houses on either side. So also mavoi eino tzarich lelechi v'lo kora. If you want to make an erev on that mavoi, that mavoi does not require neither a lechi nor a kora, because the shipua itself, the ramp itself, is considered to be a mechitza. Rabbi Chanin Magamliel Omer, tell him a slaket asar mitoch arba v'zarek v'nachal gabav chayiv. If you have such a ramp and then you throw something on the ramp, that's considered Rosh HaSiyachid, and in fact you're going to be chayiv. Okay, new Mishnah. Zarek l'toch arba amos v'niskalgil chutz l'arba amos. Let's say you throw an object in Rosh HaSarabim within 4 amos from the place that you're standing, so you didn't try to throw it outside of Dalet Amos, but then it rolls outside of Dalet Amos. Potter, because you didn't intend for a zrika of Isser, you only intended to throw it within Dalet Amos. Chutz l'arba amos v'niskalgil l'toch arba amos, if you throw it beyond 4 amos, and then it rolls back within Dalet Amos, then chayiv, then you're going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, wait a second, v'halonach, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah had said that if you throw something beyond Dalet Amos, and then it comes back within Dalet Amos, you're going to be chayiv, but you never had a hanacha outside of Dalet Amos. So isn't the definition of any melacha v'otza that there is an akira, there is a hanacha? Over here there's no hanacha outside of Dalet Amos, so why would you be chayiv for being mavir outside of Dalet Amos? So Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shenach al gabe mash. That's we're talking in a case where the object rests outside the Dalet Amos on something within 3 tefachim of the ground, and before it rolls its way back in, and therefore it's considered to have rested outside the Dalet Amos because you have lavud outside the Dalet Amos. Tani nami achim, we have a brisa that says just like this: Zorak chutz l'arba amos u'duchafto haruach v'chnisatu. If you threw something outside of Dalet Amos and then the wind caught it and threw it and blew it right back in to within Dalet Amos, ve'afal pisha chazra v'otziatu, even though you then the wind then picked it up again and brought it back outside of Dalet Amos, Potter, you can be Potter. But a chazuto haruach mashuhu, if the ruach kept it in its place outside of Dalet Amos, afal pisha chazra v'chnisato, if the ruach picked it up but left it there, had it pause in place outside of Dalet Amos for a moment, even though the ruach then brought it right back in, chayiv. You're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says that even Rava says similar to Rabbi Yochanan and explains the chiddush. Amar Rava, tok shlosh l'rabbanan, within 3 tefachim of the ground, according to the Rabbanan, who hold that we don't say that an object that's passing in airspace is considered to be resting on the ground, tsarich hanach al gabe mashu. Meaning, even if it's within lavud, it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it doesn't is not considered to be Nachal gabe mashu if it didn't rest, and it has to be it's not considered to be munach unless it's munach al gabe mashu, unless it actually rests on something. It doesn't have to be 4x4 tvachim, but if it rests even on a pin, on the head of a pin, but if it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, we'd view that as if it's resting on the ground. So yes, marema v'kamer lo la shmeita, marema was saying this this teaching of Rava. So amalei Ravina the marema, Ravina said to marema, lav haynu mas nisin. What's the chiddush? It's exactly the Mishnah that if you throw an object in Rosh Hashanah beyond all the namos, then it's niskalgal l'toch arbamos yichayiv. V'am Rabbi Yochanan v'lusha nachal gabi mashu, and Rabbi Yochanan explained that the Mishnah is talking about only where it rested on a mashu within 3 tvachim of the ground before it bounced back. So from the fact that he didn't say that you're chayiv if it goes within 3 tvachim that is samach l'karka, even if it's lonach, even if it didn't rest, so it sounds like it's being within 3 tvachim of the ground in the airspace is not considered anacha. It has to rest on something. So what's Rava's great chiddush? Meaning Rabbi Yochanan already taught whatever Rava's trying to be mechadish, and that's the way he touched up the Mishnah. That's the way he learned it into the Mishnah. So Amalei, so Marema responds to Ravina, Miskalgal Kamrit. You're trying to tell me that we can learn the din of Rava from our Mishnah that talks about a case of Miskalgal, where it rolls back in the airspace. Miskalgal in Sofa Lanuach. It was never meant, it was never destined to rest in the place where it was. And maybe that's why it's not considered Munach, even though it's within 3 tvachim of the ground. Aval hai, but the case that Rava was talking about, where the object falls to the ground that's underneath the place that it is, kiven desofa lenuach, since it is destined to land on the ground, afal gav delonach, even though it has not yet landed on the ground, keman denach dami, we view it as if it's already resting on the ground. So kamash malan, that's why Rava is telling me, no, that we don't say that, that even in a place where it's sofa lenuach, where it's going to land, until it actually lands, it's no dice. It doesn't count as if you've as if it's already had a hanacha. So there's a big chiluk between a case where something goes within 3 tvachim of the ground, but it's never going to land. It's just going to be blown right back in. And a case where something goes within 3 tvachim of the ground, and if you wait a millisecond, it will then land on the ground. So that's the chiluk that the Gemara is drawing. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hazorik b'yam arba amos pater. If someone throws something in the sea, a distance of dalet amos, he's pater, because the yam is considered to be a karmelis, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. It's aser, but you're not going to be chayiv for throwing in a karmelis. Im hayor akak mayim rosh hashanah malachas bo hazorik l'tocha arba amos chayiv. If there is a body of water that the rosh hashanah walks right through, meaning you have a major highway, major street, and there's a giant puddle of water, and all the cars just run right through it. So if you throw an object into it a distance of dalet amos, you're chayiv, because that's a rosh hashanah. Meaning, if the rabbim goes right through it, it's a rishus rabbim. Ad kama the kama who rather rakak mayim, and what is the depth of a rakak mayim that could still be considered rishus rabbim and not a karmelis? Well, pachs me'asar tvachim. It's got to be less than 10 tvachim. If it's 10 tvachim deep, then it would have a din of a karmelis just by virtue of its dimensions. Even if a lot of people happen to go right through it, so it's got to be that would be a karmelis already. Rakak mayim rishus rabbim alechas bo hazar b'toch arba muschayv, and then the Mishnah seemingly inexplicably just repeats itself. If you have this puddle of water that the rabbim just walk right through, that has the status of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore if you throw dalet amos into it, you're going to be chayiv. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah said that if you throw an object dalet amos, you're going to be chayiv. And the Mishnah said it twice in this Rakak Mayim. So Amalei Umi Rabban L'Rava. Umi Rabban said to Rava, Bishlami Hiluch Hiluch Trei Zimni. I understand very well that the Tana who taught our Mishnah says twice a din about a place where a makom, a place where Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is malachas bo, that's considered to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because there are actually two different chidushim to be taught about an area where the Rabbim walk right through. Hakamashman hiluch alidei chak shmei hiluch, because it's trying to tell me a chiddush that even if a lot of people walk through, it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Not only if a lot of people walk through comfortably, even if people walk through alidei chak bedochak they walk through, that's also considered to be a halicha, and that's derived from the case of the rakak that's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though the Rabbim are Mahalich only Bedochak. So the Tana teaches us the din the second time that Rosh Hashanah Ma'alechas Bo is considered to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even if people can only go through Bedochak, to tell me this additional din, that Dafka Halicha Bedochak is considered to be Halicha, but Tashmish Alideyat Chak is Lo Shmei Tashmish. But something that's usage is Alideyat Chak is not considered usage. So a place where Rabbim use Bedochak is not considered to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because of that usage. So if you have a hole in the ground that's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and its depth is less than 10 tefachim, it's not considered to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though it's ra'ui for the rabbim to use, because they could hide items there, they could put things there. Nevertheless, since it's a tashmish al ide'al chak, that's not considered the usage of the rabbim. But if it's the rabbim even al ide'al chak, if the rabbim even al ide'al chak travel through it, then it is considered to be rishus rabbim. Ela rakak rakak treizim nilamali. But why does the Tana have to tell me twice the din of halich al ide'al chak dafka by a puddle? I mean, if you want to give me two examples of a place where the rabbim travel through al ide'al chak, so come up with two cases. Talk about a puddle and a speed bump. I don't know. Come up with two different things. Why do you have to give me the same exact example of both times? So to this, the Gemara has three answers. Answer number one is Rava's answer. Chad b'imos hachama v'chad b'imos hageshamim. It's telling me that the puddle that the Rabbim walked through is considered to be part of Rosh Hashanah both in summertime and wintertime. And there's a havamina in both directions. There's a havamina that it would only be considered Rosh Hashanah in summertime, and a havamina that it would only be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in wintertime. How so? Tzrichi. I need to be told both of these halachas. Di tanuchad, if it only would have mentioned one example of the puddle in the Rosh Hashanah Hava Mina Hani Mili Bimosachama, I would say, yeah, when is it considered to be part of the Rosh Hashanah? During the summertime. Davidin Shi Damaski La Kuri Nafshayu. Because, you know, you ever walking on a very, very hot summer day, a great distance, and you're schwitzing, and then you walk by and someone's sprinklers on, so normally you'd go into the street and you're like, you know what? I'll walk through it. It's not so bad. I could use a little bit of cooling off. So in the summertime, there may be this puddle in Rosh Hashanah, but people enjoy that. They enjoy the break. They enjoy the refreshment of going through that that puddle in the Rosh Hashanah. I'll be most like Shem during the wintertime. Lo, no one's going to walk through it in the wintertime. It's freezing cold. The last thing you want to be in the wintertime is wet. So you're not going to walk through it. V'yashmin be most like Shem. And if he only would have told me this halacha about the wintertime, t'kimah de mitanfi lo ichpat lehu. In the wintertime, the roads were all muddy. They didn't have paved roads, so everyone had mud all over their feet, all over their shoes, so to walk through a muddy puddle was not going to be a big deal as far as cleanliness is concerned. But in the summertime, where your feet are much cleaner, your shoes are much cleaner, maybe you'll be much more hesitant to walk through a puddle. So therefore, I might think that the puddle is not considered a shasram. That's why the Tana had to tell me the din of the puddle twice, to tell me that both in the summer and in the winter, if people travel through it, it has the status of a shasram, because there's a hava mina to say otherwise. So the Tana had to tell me that it in fact is considered Rosh Hashanah. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Abayi Amar Itzrich. You know why we need to be told the same halacha twice? Sal kadai techamina hani mili hecha delo avi arba amos. I would think that that the whole case of the Mishnah is only when the rakak is less than 4 amos wide, where the Bnei Rosh Hashanah walk right through it because it's easy to walk right through. Avil hecha tavi arba amos akufi makfile. But if it's more than 4 amos wide, people are afraid of entering a puddle that's so big, so they'll more likely to walk around it and not to walk through it, and therefore it's not considered Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the Tana has to repeat the din to tell me that even if it's 4 amos wide, it's still considered Rosh Hashanah, because many people will still walk right through it. They may hesitate a little, but enough people will travel right through it. Sometimes you'll see on the road when cars are driving by, there's like a giant puddle after a rainstorm. So depending on the vehicle, right? Some of the cars, you know, the little Hyundai is going to try to skirt its way around, but the guy with the big four-wheel drive thing is going to go right through. I actually lost a Hyundai that way, because I saw the car in front of me went right through. So I said, hey, he was able to do it, so I landed right in the middle, and that was it. The car was totaled. It was a terrible car anyway. Rav Ashi, the third approach, the Gemara says, Itzrich, Salka daita chamina hani mili hecha dahava arba'a avlecha deloa ve'arba'a mivsi pasile. No, do you know why I need the Mishnah to tell me both tell me the same halacha twice? Because I might have thought that it's only considered Rosh Hashanah when it's 4 tefachim, where people would walk right through it, because it's easier to walk through it than to try to jump over it. But if it's less than 4 tefachim from one end to the other, no one's going to walk through it. You'll just hop right over it, and you'll go to the other side, and therefore it shouldn't be considered Rosh Hashanah. So that's why it has to tell me then twice that even if it's less than 4 tefachim, it's still considered Rosh Hashanah, because lots of people will walk through it anyway. Anyone who walks with children, as everyone else is stepping over the puddles, right, they jump right into the puddles. So there are some people that enjoy walking walking right into the puddles, even if it's less than four tvachim, and it's easy enough to jump over. And that which Rav Ashi says, that the rakak is considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even if a lot of people jump over it, is l'shitaso. Damar Rav Ashi, hayman dezarik, if a person throws an object in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, a distance of four amos, v'noch aguda degamla, and it lands on a plank of a bridge that is less than four tvachim wide, so and there's some space between one plank and the other, mechayiv, he's going to be chayiv as if he threw it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If it's less than four tvachim wide, a lot of people will not step on such a plank, it's a little too narrow for them, and they're going to step over it onto a wider plank, but Shari Rabbim Bokenbo, enough people do step on it that it's considered to be part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it's l'shitasa when it comes to the puddle as well. Good, new Mishnah. Hazorik min hayam liyabash, if someone throws something from the ocean onto the dry land, or min hayabash liyam, from the dry land onto the ocean is considered a karmelis. Or min hayam lisvino, or from the ocean onto a boat, which is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, umin asvina liyam, or from the boat into the yam, which is a karmelis, umin asvina l'chavirto, from one boat to the other, one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the other, potter. In all those cases, you can be potter, because if you're zorik from a Rosh Hashanah Ram, or from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a karmelis, you're potter. It needs to go from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Ram to be chayiv, or vice versa. Svinos kshura zubzu, if you have two boats that are attached, that are tied onto each other, and there's no space of four tfachim between them, metaltel mizu. You're allowed to carry from one to the other. Im einon kshuros, afal pi shemukafos, ein mitalta mizol lezo. If they're not tied together, even though they may be butting up one right against the other, but they're not tied together, there's nothing holding them together, then you're not allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. So says Gmar Itmar, Svina, Ravuna Amar Motziyan Emena, Ziz Kolshu Umemale. Let's say you're on a boat and you want to draw some water from the ocean into the boat that you're in, or from the river into the boat that you're in. How can you fill up water in order to bring it onto the boat without violating Shabbos, without violating carrying something from the yam into the to the boat? So you take a ziz kolshu, which means you just take a little rod and you put it outside the surface of the boat, umimali, and you fill up water from the ocean. That's fine. The Gemara is going to explain what in the world that rod does. How does that help at all? We'll get to that in a second. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna Amri, no. Also makom arba'a, you need to in a surrounded area of 4x4 tfachim by making mechitzos and hanging those mechitzos over the side of the boat, and these mechitzos have to surround an area of 4x4 tfachim umimale, and then you fill up water by dropping your bucket inside those mechitzos that are 4x4 tfachim, and that's the only way to get water from the ocean into your boat. So the Gemara is going to now explain what these two tzadim of this machlokas are, but it's worthwhile to remember back on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph we said that a karmelis is tofes only up until 10 tfachim. Meaning a karmelis, when the chacham say that there's such a din, such a rishus, called the karmelis, that you're not allowed to be metaltel in the karmelis, that's only up until 10 tfachim off the ground. The airspace more than 10 tfachim off the ground of the karmelis is considered a makom ptur. It's not considered a karmelis anymore, meaning similar to a rishus harabin. Meaning a rishus hayachid, we know the avir goes all the way up to the sky. Rishus harabin, the airspace is only up until 10 tfachim. A karmelis is like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in that way, that only the first 10 tefachim off the ground are considered the karmelis. More than 10 tefachim off the ground, that's already considered a makom patur. So how do we view the ocean? Where do we measure the ocean from, those 10 tefachim from? Do we measure it from the ocean floor, or do we measure it from the top surface of the water? Right? So that's going to be the big issue. If you measure it from the ocean floor, so any water that you're pulling in from the top surface of the water, you're taking from a makom patur. You're not taking from a karmelis anyway. But if you measure it from the top surface of the water, so then you're taking from a karmelis into your boat, which is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So says Gemara, that's the machlokas. Rav Huna Amar Motzi Emena Ziz Kolshu Memale. All you need is stick out a little rod that's a kolshu and fill up it to your heart's content. Kasavra karmelis may arim ashkinan, because he holds we measure a karmelis based on the floor of the ocean. Va'avira makom paturu, and the airspace is a makom patur. Obedinu deziz nami lo libayi. So really, you should shouldn't even need a rod. You shouldn't need anything. You just fill up the water because you're dealing with pulling water from a makom patur. Why do we make you stick something, a little pole or a rod outside of the boat? In order that there should be a hecker of some sort, that the place is not a karmelis, so you don't come to be metaltel from a real karmelis to Rosh HaSiach. So you make a hecker to make it a reminder that this is in fact not a karmelis. Rav Chisda v'Rabba Rav Huna Amri Osa Makom Arba'a. No, you need to make mechitzos around an area 4x4 tfachim, umemale, and then you fill up from there, kasari karmelis misfas mayim ashkinan, because they hold that we measure a karmelis, the 10 tfachim off the ground of the karmelis is measured from the top surface of the water. Maya aras michta, the water is considered to be a continuation of the ground. So you love in makom arba'a, kamatalta mekarmelis shoseyachid. If you don't make an area 4x4 tfachim, and thereby turn that part of the karmelis into a shoseyachid, and you just draw water straight into the boat from the side of the boat, that's going to be a violation of taking from a karmelis into a Rosh HaSiachid. Samalei Rav Nachman, L'Rab Baravua, L'Rav Huna Dom Motzi Amen Aziz Kol Shul Malei Zimnin Deleka Asar V'Kametaltal Mikarmelis Rosh HaSiachid. He said, well, wait a second. If you hold that we measure from the karka from the ocean floor, so he said, really, we're safe. You don't need any mechitzos. You don't need anything because whatever water you're taking is more than 10 tefachim off of the ocean floor. Is that always true? Are you always sure about that? Sometimes maybe you're in very shallow waters. How could you know for sure that you're not taking from something that's actually a karmelis that's within 10 tefachim of the ocean floor? How can you be so confident that you're not violating anything? If your boat is still moving, then you know that you're not within 10 tefachim of the ocean floor. Your boat would have gotten stuck if you were within 10 tefachim of the ocean floor. So says Gemara, but wait a second. A boat very often has something protruding at the tip of the boat that lifts up the water and so that it can go even in places where it's not 10 tefachim deep. So if you fill up with water connected that place where it's not 10 tefachim deep, so you're being metaltel from a karmelis to Rosh HaSiachid. Samar Safra Gushushi Azli Kama. Now we're talking about a case where there's someone with a stick in front of the boat measuring the depth of the water. So you know that the water is more than 10 tefachim deep at that spot. So that as long as you know that the water is more than 10 tefachim deep at that spot, and you hold that you measure the 10 tefachim of a karmelis from the bottom of the ocean and not from the top surface of the water, so then you're going to be safe. So the next issue the Gemara is going to raise, which I guess we'll pick up with tomorrow, we'll stop here, but we'll pick up tomorrow. The next issue the Gemara is going to raise is, okay, we've discussed bringing something into the boat. How do you get something out of the boat? Meaning people had to use the bathroom, so eventually they had to empty that stuff out into the ocean. How do they do that? Where do they put that without running afoul of Hilchos Shabbos? Okay, everyone should have a great day, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up tomorrow from there.